You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's time for Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that after you get a couple drinks in it, will definitely tell you all about the Legend of Zelda timeline. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
And we have special guest Batman.
I'm Batman. I'll get you, Joker.
You know, I really hope they get into like his parents in this movie. I feel like we haven't seen that enough.
Yeah.
Like there has to be a story there, right?
Let's ask Batman, will they get into whatever happened with your parents in the new film?
They died. Pearls.
Anyway, that was our short interview with Batman. It was great to have you on the show.
Oh, he's
Batman.
Gone. Oh, he's gone. Oh, out the window.
Man,
just like that.
Like
wow.
The night.
Like the night. Wow. Oh, wait, he's coming back.
I like the night.
Okay.
And Batman, what's your favorite color? I've always wanted to know.
It's blue, oddly enough.
No, that's not what I expected. Okay.
I have vengeance.
And he's gone again. Okay. Thank you all for tuning in this week. We have a great show for you. We have a bunch of news to go over. But first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Check it out!
I wonder if Batman's been checking anything out.
He's gone. I don't know.
Crap.
Yeah.
I thought he would come back.
Yeah, you know, he might have time to come back after the break. Okay. I think he's fighting like the Joker or
he's not
Two-Face
yes
or something.
He's not yes anding right now.
He's not yes anding. He is no budding.
Let's do this. Check it out.
Let's do the check it outs. Let's get to them. I could start. I watched a movie on Netflix called Mr. Right. I think it had a theatrical run. It's from 2016. I don't remember it being in theaters at all, but it seemed like a movie. it seemed like something that would be in theaters.
It was on Quibi, I think.
Oh, yes. It was in 10-minute chunks on Quibi. That's it. Yes. But no, this movie was, it stars Sam Rockwell and Anna Kendrick. And they're really kind of the only main name actors and actresses in the film. But it is essentially a romantic comedy action film about a hitman and a quirky girl that he falls in love with. It was originally picked by Jordan going, oh, hey, romantic comedy. I love these. We're going to watch them. And there might be some action. It'll be fun. This movie is 95%. Gunplay and shooting people and great action movie quips and 5% two quirky people being very cute and having a lot of chemistry on screen together. Those two work super, super well on screen. It's great.
I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Anna Kendrick in anything where I'm like, oh, she's terrible.
No, she's pretty great in everything. And Sam Rockwell is pretty great as well. I have a hard time picturing a movie that I didn't like him in. Even Iron Man 2, which was not a good movie, he was a highlight as kind of more of a jerk but less competent Tony Stark.
Nobody ever says, oh man, Sam Rockwell's really bringing this movie down.
Oh, that movie Moon, he was the worst part of it. The joke is that he was the only part of it.
Yeah, he's the only one in it.
Yeah. That's a really good movie, too. I love Moon.
You know, I initially picked up a Netflix subscription specifically to watch Moon.
Really?
And then didn't do it.
You've never watched it?
No.
Oh, well, add it to the list.
Yeah.
It's really, really well done. And no spoilers for the story because it's an interesting kind of neat sci-fi thing. And it was done by David Bowie's son.
Duncan Jones.
Thank you. I could not remember his name. I knew it was Jones because David Bowie's name is Davy Jones. That's why he couldn't go by Davy Jones.
Thanks to the
because the monkeys.
Monkeys.
Yeah. But Mr. Right is really, it was really fun. It was incredibly funny. I was audibly laughing at a lot of points during that film. And it ends with Anna Kendrick yelling that I am a T-Rex. I am unstoppable. It was pretty great. It was really good. I would recommend it. Not for the squeamish. Not for the kids out there. This is an adult movie.
For grown-ups.
We'll get back to
another movie we'll talk about.
We'll talk about in later. A little bit. Yeah, movie or possible series. I don't really know what it is at this point. We'll talk about it. The other movie I watched, I'll just go ahead and do them both, was... Okay, so I'm going through the 50-pack of Mill Creek.
We're back at the Mill Creek sci-fi.
We're going back to the Mill Creek. We're going back to the mill with this. We watched two off the pack, and for the life of me, I cannot remember the second film we watched.
Must have been real good.
It must have been just the best one of the cream of the crop. Cream of the crop. I almost went into a Macho Man Randy Savage there. I had to restrain myself.
I can tell you were restraining yourself.
I was restraining myself. Ooh, I was restraining myself. Anyway, the other movie we watched was a film called Slipstream. Apparently, this was a movie that was never officially released in theaters in America. It was only a UK release, although it was filmed in, I think, partially New Zealand and partially Canada, a couple of spots. So it looked and sounded like a movie. The music was fantastic. The London Symphony Orchestra did the music, and so it sounded a lot like a Star Wars, or it had that gravitas. It looked and felt like a movie starring Mark Hamill, Bill Paxton, and that dinosaur hunter guy from Jurassic Park 1 who gets eaten by the Velociraptor and also says, "Clever girl." But the whole idea behind the movie is it's set in a post-apocalypse where the wind has destroyed everything. Winds have picked up and it's like eroding rocks and destroying everything. And society has kind of crumbled because of it.
It's global winding.
Global winding, yes. Everybody has planes. So there's like sky pirates. And Mark Hamill is... In D&D, so you have like lawful good where you know, even if you know you are working for the bad guy, because you have a code of honor and because there are laws, even if the laws are corrupt, you follow the laws. That is Mark Hamill in this. And he is a guy that is out hunting this one guy who ends up having a secret, won't go into it because this movie's worth watching. And Bill Paxton is just the worst thing in the film, but he is... Also, the main character, he ends up picking up this guy that Mark Hamill is hunting to get a bounty, and they become friends. It's kind of a road trip kind of movie, but the road trip is a plane from post-apocalyptic town to post-apocalyptic town. It's interesting. It's an interesting film.
Neat.
Yeah, it's cool. Not great. It turns out it was written and produced by some of the folks behind Return of the Jedi, and this was the first film Mark Hamill did after Star Wars.
Huh.
Like, it was a year or two after Star Wars. He had cut his hair real short and grew out a really crappy beard, and he was hamming it up, so he was trying to be as much not... Luke Skywalker-like as possible.
He was just glad to not have to be Luke Skywalker anymore.
Pretty much. Unfortunately, this movie bombed horribly, so you never got the Slipstream saga or anything like that. This was the beginning of the dark period, the dark times for Mark Hamill, when he was in movies like The Giver. And I don't even know some of the other films he was in between... Basically, Star Wars and Batman, the animated series.
Yeah. I was going to say a new Star Wars.
Well, yeah.
I was thinking today there are almost more bad Star Wars films now than there are good ones.
Sure. Yeah. That's
not quite. There's still maybe one more good one than there is bad, but.
Okay. How do you figure?
There's two good new ones.
Okay. Yeah.
The three originals are good.
Three originals. So that's five.
Five, and then the rest are bad, so four.
Yeah, okay, you're right. You're right.
Of course, I wasn't counting the spinoff.
Oh, yeah.
Which, what
do we... Cancel each other out.
Yeah, actually, yeah, they do.
Yeah, they cancel each other out.
So we got five good Star Wars and... Or five good Star Wars and four bad.
I would almost say Attack of the Clones is neutral. I wouldn't call it bad.
You mean the...
Number two.
Number... Really? I don't. That's my least favorite one.
Really? See, I think number one is the first one is completely unneeded in the long run. I think number three has a lot of issues with the plotting and Anakin's motivations, I guess. And I don't know, like, I guess some of it could be hand waved as like, oh, well, he's being influenced by the dark side or whatever. And that's why his choices and the fact that he recognizes, oh, he should just recognize, oh, you're a bad guy. Yeah. Immediately from the beginning. Are we the bad guys? Yes. You've lied to everybody else about things, but you're telling me the truth about Padme. Huh. Well, but I think there's more good than bad in Attack of the Clones, and I think that is just makes it neutral.
I would have said the same thing about the third one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one I think I almost liked when I originally saw it.
Yeah.
But that was Star Wars Corner. The Star Corner.
Yep.
Do we want to talk about one of the movies we watched?
I guess.
Well, this is the place for it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
What better place than here? What better time than now?
Do we want to talk about the good one first or the almost good one?
Whatever you want.
Let's talk about the good one first.
Yeah.
It's a Shudder exclusive called Host, and it's a horror movie shot entirely within Zoom.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it takes place during the current, troubles. And okay. As we call it on this show.
Yeah. Which is in itself kind of a horror movie.
Yeah. And it's a bunch of a group of girls, young women, having a seance over Zoom with a seance professional lady. And it goes horribly wrong.
Oh, okay.
And you really don't need to expand on any more than that. I mean, that's the gist of the movie. And it works.
They did a really good job.
Yeah, it's legitimately pretty spooky. And a lot of the effects and the, like, playing with the webcam camera angles are all really good.
This reminds me of another movie. It came out a few years ago. Another horror movie. I think it was Unfriended. Yeah. The Facebook horror movie or the Skype horror movie or something like that.
Yeah, they did do a couple of those, I think.
Yeah. This sounds much better because Unfriended was very bad.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. This was good. It wasn't that long either. It was only like 50 some minutes at the most.
Oh, okay.
Because it plays with that 45 minute time limit you have on Zoom if you have more than three people.
Oh, I like that.
There's about a 10 minute lead up where it's just like two people on the call. And then once that it's more than two, that's when the 45 minutes started counting down.
Interesting.
So it was like in real time.
That's clever.
Within the limits of a Zoom call. It was clever. It was really good.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's really cool.
You got anything else?
I don't know, because I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that big of a time investment. And if you've got Shudder, it's worth checking out.
Hey, it's worth the cost of admission.
Yeah.
Would you like to see more movies like set like that? I don't know,
because they pretty much covered, I think, almost everything you could do in that format. I guess they could have did stuff with, like, somebody being on a phone and being in more locations. Mm. They could have opened it up maybe a little bit, but, I mean, the effects were really well done. There's, poltergeist stuff going on with stuff moving around.
Oh, cool.
It looks legit.
Excellent.
Especially, I'm sure Shudder will have some kind of deal as we get closer to Halloween where you can get in there real cheap.
Oh, yeah.
Probably watch it then.
Hey, is that where you can watch a movie drive-in with Joe Bob Briggs?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because I follow him on Twitter, and I like the old his old stuff.
We saw a little bit of him, and Samantha, you had the biggest negative reaction to Joe Bob for some reason.
I don't know. I think I was just... crabby mood.
You were just immediately like, who the heck is this
movie cowboy?
This movie, yeah. You were just immediately put off by him. It was funny.
Oh, that's great.
I mean you didn't know who he was or what he was about, but just you were immediately like
what
oh.
is this?
And we haven't gone back since, and all I've heard is good things about Last Drive-In.
Movie cowboy.
What else is he?
What does this guy think he's doing with his cowboy hat and his talk about bad movies? I prefer my bad movies discussed by robots in space, not cowboys.
Or vampire mistress lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or boob lady on a couch.
Oh. Do you want to talk about the bad movie?
Yeah, we can talk
about
the
bad movies.
Let's do it.
I don't think it was bad.
Oh, don't roll back now. Just, yeah.
It was called Pyrewacket, and it was the most angsty teen film experience that I've had in some time.
Oh, jeez.
It was about some kid that, teen girl that gets into the occult after her dad passes away and gets mad at her mom and acts and does a ritual to, I wish she was dead, you know, situation.
Oh, yeah, because teen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
You know, oh no, I summoned an ill-defined demon to come and kill my mom.
Oh.
Yeah. Because it's one of those things where, like, she does it, and then the next day she bonds with her mom about something and is like, uh-oh. Yeah, I made a mistake.
Oops, made a big old whoopsie-doodle.
But, like, as soon as the demon starts showing up and things start getting interesting and we get the scares and the spooks, it ends.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to spoil it because it...
Yeah, spoil it. Why not? Do it.
The demon tricks her into killing her mom, and she burns their whole house down, and it's like, well, that was not very interesting.
That doesn't sound very interesting. No.
No. It was like, I don't know, bad Heredity. Like, yeah. It made me think of it because it was in that big house out in the woods type of thing, and then... It started getting interesting when the demon was doing stuff and, like, knocking on her door and making her see things that were, may or may not have been there, but as soon as it starts ratcheting it up, it, like, just, yeah.
Yeah, now was it, like, laughably bad, or was it just,
it was
just a slog to sit through?
It was forgettably bad.
Mothers and daughters yelling at each other.
Oh yeah. No, that's the worst.
Yeah, I think I said, yeah, if I wanted to watch a movie about a mother and daughter yelling at each other, we could have watched Lady Bird.
And like in the main, I guess, pool, this movie was, what's her name from The Walking Dead, was the mom in it.
Yeah, the mom from that died on The Walking Dead was in this movie.
Oh, I've never watched a full episode of The Walking Dead.
I think I made a crack about when they're looking at pictures of her departed husband, it should just be pictures of Rick Grimes.
It should have.
Yeah, I don't even think she was all that good in it either. She just yelled a lot.
Sad mom.
Sad mom, yeah.
Hmm.
Don't watch this one. What was it even on? Amazon?
I have no clue.
It might have been Amazon. Might have been Hulu. I think it was Hulu.
Hulu? Okay.
It was Hulu because we also watched the other movie on Hulu that I'm just now remembering, The Alchemist Cookbook, which was weird.
Okay.
It's a guy in the woods living in a trailer, doing alchemy, trying to make gold.
Nice, nice.
And he also summons a demon who, and stuff happens, and then it's over. It's all like... It's basically just this one guy in a trailer in the woods in literal Michigan for like an hour. Talking to his cat, mixing chemicals together.
You don't know if like the chemicals are making him crazy or...
Oh, okay.
And he also doesn't have his medicine he's supposed to have, which we don't know what it is or what it's for, but he is out of it.
Ah, okay. Well, sure, sure.
And it... Like, I don't think it was a bad movie. It was just a weird movie. I don't think I've ever seen anything specifically like it because it was so loose, such a loose narrative. Like, it doesn't have any traditional structure to it at all.
Huh.
And just kind of follows this guy as he goes crazy or not. And you know what? I can't remember how it even ends. Can you?
Yes.
Yeah?
It ends on that stupid freeze frame.
Oh, that's right. The ending was terrible.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
So you can't remember how bad the ending was?
Yeah, the ending was awful. Now that I think about it.
Let's hear about it.
He sees or doesn't see the demon, makes a, oh my God, face, and it freeze frames and zooms in on his face.
Oh,
and
no.
Just the most amateurish and, like, terrible thing.
Oh, God, that is the worst.
It really does ruin what was otherwise a kind of interesting,
like, they really didn't know how to end it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was really, like, a more experimental movie than it was anything else. And, you know, it more or less worked up until that moment.
Mm-hmm.
He has a friend that comes and visits him and brings him, like, food and stuff. And their, like, back and forth was good and, like, funny.
Okay.
But, yeah, woof, that ending, man.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great. That doesn't sound great. Hey, did we ever talk about the that clown burger van show?
Big Top Burger?
Big
no,
Top
we
Burger.
Didn't.
We have about 5 minutes. You want to talk about Big Top Burger?
Let's talk about Big Top Burger.
Yeah, because I watched a little bit of this. You've watched all of it.
Yeah, well, it's only 11 minutes of content.
And yet I still haven't finished it.
It's an animated series on YouTube by a user named Worthy Kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a clown-themed food truck and its employees, you know, just going about their day selling, slinging burgers.
Yeah.
And it's, like, extremely surreal. The like, boss of the food truck is a literal clown man that he's magic, basically.
He's a magic clown man.
He does basically whatever he wants. He flies around. Mm-hmm. He pulls swords out of nowhere. He fights an elk. Like, it's so surreal and, like, weirdly heartwarming and, like, I don't know how else to describe it. The animation is really not really good.
The art style is really interesting. It's not a standard style. I don't even know what I would compare it to, really.
It's 3D animated, but also looks hand-drawn at the same time.
Yeah, it's very cool. I like some of the voice actors on it. Was it Lindsay Small-Butera?
Yeah. Her voice acting is always good. There's something about her voice that is just extremely pleasant.
Yeah. And also is, was it Tim Guy?
Or Tim Bat.
Tim Bat. Yeah. Tim Bat. It's Tim Bat and Guy Montgomery. Tim Bat is one of the two hosts of the Worst Idea of All Time podcast, the podcast where they watch the same movie every week for an entire year. The first season was Sex and the City 2. That was the joke. This is the worst idea of all time.
And then they did Grown Ups.
They did Grown Ups too. Yeah. Well, they're also part of the Till Death Do Us Blart podcast with the McElroy brothers.
Yeah. Which Guy Montgomery is in Big Top Burger, too.
He is.
He's, like, the customer that shows up in, like, the first episode.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Very cool. And I guess we should have said Lindsay Small-Butera is an animator, artist, and voice actress. One of the things she did was Batman, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a surrealist, you know, Batman and Spider-Man being roommates cartoon, kinda.
And
just barely.
Her and her husband have done stuff for, like, Cartoon Network.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think they're working on a feature film.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I'd watch that. But yeah, Big Top Burger, I watched a couple episodes. I watched them, the couple I watched were here with you guys a few weeks ago, and it was legitimately funny. It was really good.
It was some of the best animated stuff I've seen on the internet since, you know, back in the day when animated cartoons were something viable on the internet.
Yeah. It's a shame that animated cartoons is less than viable these days.
Yeah.
Between the YouTube algorithms and the death of, like, personal websites for just one animated show, like Homestar Runner or Waterman Studios, or was it Weeble and Bob was one?
Yeah. I mean, Bonus Stage.
Bonus Stage. Less we talk about Bonus Stage, the better. I don't care for that one.
I don't want to say it was my favorite, because Homestar is the best
Homestar.
One. But I was really into that back in the day, too.
I was like, oh, this is... Even back when I was, oh, man, gamer times, man, I was like, oh, this is too much.
Oh, web cartoons. Thanks, YouTube algorithm. Hey, it's much cheaper and convenient to record yourself playing a video game for 2 hours than it is to, you know, put your heart and soul into an animated short.
That's
what it comes down to.
That's what it comes down to, yeah. Especially because your animated short has to be over like 6 minutes now or something like that.
Yeah.
It's something crazy.
And 6 minutes of animation is like 60 hours of work.
Yeah, it's way not worth the time and effort unless you, you know, legitimately love doing it. Or if you're just doing quick animatics like the... I've been watching a lot of the McElroy Brothers podcast clips that have been turned into animatics. But then again, those aren't monetized because they're 30 seconds long or whatever.
The ones that Louis Zong...
Those are the best. Those are some of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are some of the best.
That guy in general is great.
He seems like a cool guy.
A lot of good little short songs and mm-hmm. skits and bits he puts on his YouTube channel yeah. are really good.
Yep, he seems like a really cool guy. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into some news. Hey, we're back. That was Axel F. by H. John Benjamin off of his newest album, Jazz Daredevil, the Soundtrack Collection. It's a classic. We played stuff from his first album a while back, right?
Yes, he's a very talented piano player.
Very skilled. He definitely knows how to play a piano. If there's one thing I could say about the man is that he can, in fact, play a piano.
Or boy, in this case, a Moog synthesizer.
Yes, yes. Boy, you know, it's weird. I know we just came back from a two-minute break, but it feels like a week, you guys. Does it feel like a week to you guys?
It really does.
That's weird. That's a weird feeling.
Feels like 2 weeks for me.
Ah, Josh, where'd you come from?
Hey.
We've gained a Josh. And we're going to go ahead and get into a little bit of our news.
Come on, Cranky. Take it to the fridge.
I wasn't expecting that. This is a weirdly high quality sample.
It was. I somehow found the entire song a cappella. Like someone had painstakingly stripped the music track out of that song, and it is like CD quality of just the vocals. I can clip any part of that song you want.
Nice.
Yep. All right, so yeah, let's go ahead and get into our news. We're actually going to kind of start off on kind of a down note. We won't hang on this for too long because it is a bummer, and then we'll get to the fun stuff. But pulling back the curtain a little bit, we actually recorded the first half of the show about a week ago, and we were all set to have a full episode come out this week, have it be a week late. And like 2 days after we recorded, the news broke that Chadwick Boseman, the actor who has played a number of different roles, probably most recognizable as Black Panther from the Marvel films. He was also Jackie Robinson. He was also a number of other characters and movies. He passed away rather unexpectedly, and it has been kind of a shock.
Yeah, it's a real bummer, and nobody saw it coming.
No, nobody saw it coming. Apparently, he had colon cancer.
Yes.
Something like that. And he has been dealing with it for, what did they say, 4 years, I believe?
Yeah.
And so that was during his entirety of working on Marvel films as well as a number of other films. He did all of that while battling cancer and keeping it relatively quiet. I think there was a tabloid, a TMZ-esque tabloid that had broken some kind of news maybe a month or two before he actually had passed. But for the most part, kept it on the down low. And that is wild.
That takes an incredible level of strength to act in all those like really demanding Marvel movies.
Yeah.
While having cancer, that man.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine. And if you go back and look at some of the interviews he had done, I remember he was kind of getting slammed a little bit for seeming tired or disinterested in doing a lot of the interviews, halfway falling asleep in one of the interviews. And hindsight, man, he was probably going through chemo or some kind of something or other.
Yeah.
And got an
really
undo.
Tells you, you know, don't judge people for stuff like that because you don't know what they're going through.
Exactly. And it's been pretty universally like everyone's kind of gotten together and gone, yeah, this, you know, we feel for him. We feel for his family. We're, you know, it's every no one has their negative hot take on this.
Thank
on this
God.
Passing.
That would be awful.
That would be really awful. I know ABC aired Black Panther in its entirety without commercial breaks, any advertisements. And then they had a little document, like mini documentaries that they kind of put together. I mean, quickly, but they kind of put it together as kind of a remembrance of Chadwick Boseman that they aired afterwards. This was about a week ago. And yeah, it's,
oh,
you know,
that's
he's going to,
nice, yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's going to be missed. And this is not the take that anyone should be focusing on. It is certainly not the take that I'm focusing on. I think, you know, my heart is out for his, goes out to his family and his friends and everything. But the comic fan in me does wonder where, what Marvel's going to do, where they're going to go with the character from here. And honestly, I hope they don't recast him. I think that would do a disservice to Boseman's acting, and I think it would do a disservice to the character. I think,
yeah,
I think he should be written out in such a way that is ultimately heroic, or just, you know, give him a, give Black Panther the good ending and have someone else be the Black Panther. In the comics, his younger sister Shuri was a Black Panther for a short time. They could have, they can introduce a brand new character if they wanted to, or just say, well, no, he's just back to being a king of his country, and we're not going to, that's just where he is now. I don't know. I mean, it's not what should be focused on currently, but
yeah,
but they're going to have to figure something out eventually.
someone's going to have to make some hard decisions, and I would never want to be in that person's shoes, because whatever decision they make, someone's going to be upset about it.
Yeah, that is definitely true.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, let's move on to another topic, because this is starting to bum me out.
Yeah, it is. It'll catch me throughout the day. I'll think, oh man, that happened.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, and again, I think the shock, I mean, he was a younger guy. He was in his, I mean, he was 43, I think, something like that. And the fact that he seemed fine.
Yeah, it makes it all that more shocking.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. But no, anyway, let's, you know, Chadwick Boseman, you'll be missed.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever, absolutely. Let's move on to some fun stuff. Do we want to do a Mario or a DC Comics?
Let's do the Mario.
Let's do the Mario.
Man, that should be on the soundboard.
Oh man, that next week I will have do the Mario.
Because it shouldn't take too long to get through this stuff, even though it is really cool. We finally got that Nintendo Direct that we've been asking for like 3 months, and this time it's all Mario's. Oops, all Mario's.
Oops, all Mario's. Yeah.
It was about a half hour of Mario-related content. We got new game announcements. We got new toys.
A toy announcement
all kinds
of stuff. In a Direct. We never see those. That's pretty cool. Yeah, this is pretty exciting stuff. So this is Mario's 35th anniversary, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So,
and that's why they're pulling out all the stops.
Yeah, yeah. So we're just going to go down the list and just kind of give you our thoughts on some of this stuff. The first thing they announced was a Game & Watch. Cody, what is a Game & Watch?
It before Nintendo made the Game Boy, they had made these little portable, like, LCD consoles that were kind of like those old Tiger
I was just
going to
say, they're like the Tiger Electric. Yeah.
Yeah, but much higher quality.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had built-in watches. But they're doing a new one that just straight up plays Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers Lost Levels.
That's awesome.
And it is also a watch as well. Yeah, it looks really cool. It has the same Game & Watch form factor that the original consoles did. The Game
like
& Watch is
3DS.
It's about the size of a credit card, maybe a little bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bigger than a credit card, but not much. I mean, it'll fit in your pocket.
Wow.
It's a little better than a Game Boy Micro.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. The next thing we have on the list is Mario 35, which is kind of a crazy competitive battle royale game set in the classic 8-bit Mario worlds.
Yeah, it's like Tetris 99, but Super Mario Brothers and 35 instead of 99.
So you have 35, you and 34 other players online are playing through the same levels, and as you hit blocks and jump and clear enemies and clear lines or clear worlds and stuff, it is affecting the other players' like landscape. Like, you might end up in a different part of the level, or you might have extra enemies, and you just go until one is done, one is left.
It looks like every time you kill an enemy, it sends it onto somebody else's screen. So.
That's crazy. I love it. I love it.
It looks like a lot of fun.
It does. Yeah, I will definitely be at least trying this out until I get too frustrated to continue. But yeah, no, and the weird thing is, it's only a limited time thing. It's only until spring of 2021, I believe. Yeah, something like that. It's not an all time thing. Although I imagine
it's really weird.
Yeah, although I imagine if it's popular, they'll bring it back in some shape or form. When they first announced it, I thought it was going to be like another addition to Mario Maker.
It kind of looks that way, doesn't it? I wonder if that limited time is just when it's free.
And if after that, then
you gotta pay.
That might be, yeah, that could be a try before you buy kind of thing.
Yeah, it is a free game if you have Nintendo Online
when
it comes out, which I think it was supposed to come out a couple months from now.
Yeah, and it's like, they did something similar with Tetris 99 as well, because it was free for the online folks, and then there's like a paid for version that is a one player, is that correct?
Yeah, it adds a bunch more features.
Yeah, so I guess that might be what this thing is like. After a while, it becomes pay for and you get a bunch of extra stuff. That'd be cool.
At least I hope so, because it's insane to make a game and be like, oh, you can only play it for 3 months and then it's gone.
Insane, or the most Nintendo thing that's ever Nintendo'd.
Both.
Yeah. All right, next up we have a weird, incredibly odd twist on Mario Kart. Josh, do you want to talk a little bit about this one?
So they announced a game called Mario Kart Live Home Tour, which looks like you're kind of standard for Mario Kart that you're playing on your Switch, except you have a little RC Mario Kart racing around your house with a camera on it.
Yeah.
And you play online against other people, and you can see their racers. Your car is the only one going around this track you've designed in your house.
Yeah, this thing is actually kind of cool. It looks like it has various checkpoints that you set up that are built out of basically Nintendo cardboard Labo, like risers or whatever. And you take a lap through your like physical living space to map out.
It's a remote control car with a camera on it
that
you control with your Nintendo Switch.
Right, and you map out like a circle, like a map. And then you and other people, or against the AI, will play on your physical, in your area. That is so cool. It is a crazy gimmick. I will not own it, but it's a crazy cool gimmick.
Yeah, it's an insanely innovative toy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, and the way I put it earlier, I said it was like the natural progression of Amiibos and Labo, because you have an AR sensor camera with, you know, the Labo style risers, and then you have the car that pairs to your Switch, like a Bluetooth or something. So I mean, it's kind of, yeah, and like the car physically moves when you drive it with your Switch controllers. It's awesome. It's super cool.
It is super cool. I don't have enough hardwood space in my house.
Same here.
To make a good track.
Yeah, it'd be something that I would have to take it outside, put it on the driveway, but then, you know, I'll have my neighbors staring at me for playing with an RC car. I mean, they already think I'm kind of weird anyway, but I mean, you know,
it looks just like the those RC Mario Karts you can buy in the store now.
Yeah, that's true. Oh man, can you imagine someone like setting up a huge track at like a high school like track meet, like outdoor track, and you're like having to run after your RC car while you're driving on that track? And the thing is, that game, it has the weapons, like the shells. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got a few other different ones,
and
too.
And if you get hit with some of the weapons, your car in the real world will physically stop moving. Like, it affects real world stuff. In-game things affect the real world. And that's awesome. That's so cool.
Like, I hope it's not too expensive.
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that car looked pretty decently sized.
It looked like a pretty good size, and it looked pretty sturdy. It didn't look, you know, chintzy or cheap. I imagine it's probably the cost of a higher-end Amiibo plus a higher-end Labo, which would be... if it's... I wouldn't be surprised if the main set was 80.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, exactly.
Because you figure 20 for the toy and 60 for the cardboard and game. That would be my guess. Between 80 and 100, but I think Nintendo kind of shies away from having things hit that $100 mark. So I would say probably 80.
And then, like,
and it comes in Luigi.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Do you think they'll, like, add other race cars as, like, add-ons?
It'd be cool, but... I guess it depends on how well it sells.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think, though, it might be more of a thing where, like, you have a Mario or Luigi car, but you might be able to choose your in-game skin that other people see.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's just my thought on it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay, next up, we have the classic Super Nintendo collection pack, Mario All-Stars, on the Super NES Online. And that is out today, like right now, this second. You can go play, what are the games? Mario World, Mario, or what? It's not Mario,
Mario
World.
Not Mario World.
Not Mario World. Okay, it's...
Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
1, 2, and 3.
And Lost Levels,
the Lost
right?
Levels, and that's it, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm remembering it back when it was on a cartridge, and it was Mario World plus All-Stars.
Yeah, there is a version that had Mario World.
Yeah, but no, this is cool. I mean, it's a bunch of classic games, and let's face it, the Super Nintendo Online needs a bunch of good games.
Yeah, I already played through the first level of Super Mario Brothers on it, and it's good.
Nice. That's awesome. So along with that, they announced, now this is kind of big news, and this is something that was leaked or teased. It was leaked months ago, and... no one had heard anything about it, so it was like there was a questioning of the validity of it. But apparently, they're putting out three of the original 3D Mario games on one cartridge. Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine from the GameCube, and Super Mario Galaxy for the Wii. All three on one cartridge with up-resed graphics and optimized for 16:9 standard widescreen televisions.
Yeah, widescreen support, which is cool.
That's so cool. I'm really excited for this.
They're all great games.
They are. I'm looking forward to jumping back into two of them and playing Sunshine for the first time ever.
You've never played Sunshine?
Never. Didn't have a GameCube.
Oh, it's good.
That's what I hear.
I recently started playing it again after I finished Mario 64. And now I'm just going to stop and wait for it to come out on the Switch.
There you go, yeah. And we'll make sure you pre-order them, because apparently this is only getting a limited release. Or, like, it's getting a limited physical release, and the digital is only going to be available for a short time. So I don't
quite
understand.
Makes no sense.
I don't quite understand the whole Disney Vault mentality on this thing. But I would say if you can get your hands on a physical copy, do it, because, I mean... I'm not usually that guy, but speculator market, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You could turn around and probably
double
it. This is
going to be a collector's out.
Oh, it is. Absolutely, it is.
Just like that Game & Watch, you should jump on a pre-order of that as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be hard to get.
Yep.
It's going to be the NES classic of this year.
It is.
Where everybody's trying to get it, nobody can.
Yeah. The last of the main game things, they're doing a revamped or reworked version of 3D Mario World, the one where you can turn into cats.
And that's great, because that game is really good.
And it also comes with Bowser's Fury. I'm not sure what that
like
is.
Yeah, looks like they added some new levels.
That's cool.
Which is good. I would have bought it without the new levels, but that's just icing.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome. The other couple of things we'll run through very quickly. They talked about a lot of merch. A lot of new merchandise, which they don't usually talk about on these Nintendo Direct things. New toys, action figures, that sort of thing. There's going to be a Splatoon 2 Splatfest based around Mario, it's cool.
Yeah, they said they weren't doing those anymore, but
apparently they lied. Yeah. And
I'm all about a new Splatfest.
Hey, why not? I mean, it's not a game that I play, but that's cool that they're doing it. You can actually buy the shirts that are featured in the game as well, which is kind of cool. It's kind of wild. And
but they're $30, which is ridiculous for a t-shirt.
It is. Yeah, that's about $20 too much if you ask me. But the last thing that we have here listed are the Mario Pumas. Mario the brand shoe. Shoes.
Not the animal.
No, no. Unfortunately. Can you imagine a live Puma with with a Mario mask and mustache?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty great.
They're red, blue, with a little bit of yellow shoes. They're pretty cool.
They're pretty cool. They're going to be prohibitively expensive, but if they weren't, I don't know, I'd look into them. They'd be good, like, workout shoes or whatever.
Yeah, they're going up for sale on the 4th, and I'll check and see.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, we don't have a ton of time here, but this is something we covered on our lost second half of the show that we are going to try to make up here real quick. So 2 weeks ago, DC Comics had their online mini convention to kind of make up for San Diego Comic-Con called DC Fandome. And during it, they showed off a lot of trailers, a lot of things for movies, games, that sort of thing. I just want to go through very quickly, get snap opinions on some of these things. Rapid fire, because like I said, running out of time here. The Batman, Robert Pattinson's The Batman, which apparently, as of today's recording on Thursday, production got halted because Robert Pattinson tested positive for COVID.
Wah, wah.
But what'd you think of the trailer?
I didn't like it. I mean, it could be a fine movie, but that trailer didn't make it look particularly good.
Yeah, it looks like more of the same. I know that's what a lot of people want when they have their Batman movies, is everything is super desaturated and everything is super grim and gritty, and Batman is he grumbles about everything. He's all about vengeance. But yeah, I don't know. Having had a week to sit on it and think about it, I think I've lightened up on it considerably from the last time we spoke about this. I'm still not entirely sold. I do think it's kind of weird that they put Colin Farrell under so much makeup to make him look like Richard Kind when they could have just hired the actor Richard Kind.
I hate the song choice.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
Using Nirvana's Something's in the Way.
Which yeah.
Is like an extremely emotional, like serious song that Kurt did. Not in a Batman movie, please.
Not in a Batman. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Wonder Woman 84 looks good.
Yes,
can't wait.
It's great.
Yeah. Can't wait. It's going to be great. I think. Go
swinging
ahead.
Off friggin' lightning strikes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I think Kristen Wiig is going to be great as the cheetah. Like a weird.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of her normal wheelhouse, I guess.
She's a great actress, and when they announced her for the role, I was confident in the choice.
No, I think she's going to do a great job. Suicide Squad, the James Gunn take on the Suicide Squad. Boy, oh boy, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, there is.
I saw a lot of people on Twitter when that trailer dropped saying that, oh my God, there's too many people. How are we going to keep track? The whole point of Suicide Squad is that half the team usually doesn't make it. So I'm guessing most of those people are not going to make it through the first third of the film. Like,
That's why Polka Dot Man is in it.
Polka Dot Man, I doubt, is going to make it. What's his name? The guy with the blonde hair. Well, there's Javelin. Javelin, I don't think, is going to make it.
Yeah, as soon as I saw Javelin, I'm like, that's going to be the Slipknot of this movie.
Oh, Rooker. Michael Rooker as Savant is not going to make it out of the first third of the movie. I wouldn't be surprised if Nathan Fillion didn't make it through the opening credits.
as Arms Fall Off Lad, or
as,
whatever his name
as
is.
The reworked version of Arms Fall Off Boy. Yes. A man who has the power to pop off his arms like an action figure and beat you with them.
And in the comics, it makes a weird sound.
Yeah, it's like a splorch, I think was the sound effect that they used. Something like that.
It was like blorp or something.
It was like blorp or splorch. And like he was an alien and he had like little spikes on his shoulder. So it'd be like a spiked mace or a spiked club. But in this one, no, it just looks like Nathan Fillion with a stupid face mask. And he pops a hand off, his arm off, and beats you with it. John Cena is in this as the Peacemaker, and his helmet is straight from the comics. It looks like a toilet bowl seat. It's great. I can't wait. The Justice League Snyder Cut. Do we have anything to say about this other than blah?
Did you put any fart noises on the soundboard yet?
I haven't put any fart noises on the soundboard yet, but if I had, this would be the most apt time for it. So instead of having one big long movie that is going to be a slog to get through, we are going to have 4 hour long episodes that we're going to have to sit through.
Too much.
It's too much.
That's too much, man.
Editors are good for a reason. Sometimes.
Also, maybe I'm just not grown up enough to appreciate it.
Oh God,
according to Zack Snyder.
I can't believe that. I can't believe Zack Snyder said, "Oh, the Justice League movie, it's not for kids. This is a movie for adults." No, it's Justice League, man. Come on.
On Twitter, he literally said this is for, he used the phrase grown-ups.
Yeah.
Which is like pretty childish on its own.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have a couple of games here and then we'll have to wrap things up. Gotham Knights. Who wants to tell me about Gotham Knights?
Gotham Knights is a co-op design action game where you take the role as either Red Hood, Nightwing, Damian Wayne, Robin, or Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
And carrying on Batman's legacy after he reportedly dies.
Right. So it's kind of a twist on the Batman action, like character action game or whatever, where you're one of the sidekicks, and that's kind of cool. I think that's kind of neat. And I like, as much as I don't like the character Red Hood, because Red Hood is the epitome of what if Batman but gun, but I like that they have made him into, he's physically bigger and bulkier than the rest of the Bat crew because he's not really an acrobat. He's not really some halfway trained super ninja. He is a bruiser. He is a guy who is going to shoulder check you and then shoot you with gun.
They did a good job with Babs. She looks great.
She looks like a good mix between the Burnside Batgirl costume and the current one, and it's very nice. And then Robin and Nightwing just look like Robin and Nightwing, and that's cool because their costumes are fairly iconic. And last one we have here is the Suicide Squad game. And as much as I'm excited for the Suicide Squad movie, that is how inversely like not excited I am for this game.
I'm pretty excited for it just because it's Rocksteady is making it, and they made all the good Batman games.
Rocksteady is a plus, but the storyline is, oh no, Suicide Squad, we have to kill Superman, and that is just lame.
Well, actually, they have to kill the whole Justice League because the game is called Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League.
It's so lame. It really is.
Yeah. Like, they're all, like, being controlled by Brainiac or something.
Something. I don't know.
You know they're not going to actually kill the Justice League.
Oh, no. And see, that's just it. Where's the tension in the game? Because you know what's going to happen. They're going to lose because it's the Justice League.
Although, to be fair, the Harley Quinn cartoon kills important characters all the time.
True, but this is more...
But not the Justice League.
And this is more... This game is more Warner getting their grubby mitts on things. I have a feeling the department that takes care of the Harley Quinn cartoon is basically allowed to run roughshod over whatever they want because it's, you know, whatever. Hardly anyone's watching it, so... Why not just do whatever?
I hope they renew it for a third season.
I
they
do
won't,
too.
But I hope they do.
Yeah. I hope they do too, but they won't. If they were going to, they would have announced it during Fandome, I think.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
HBO Max might pay for one. I mean, they bought another season of Close Enough, so.
Oh, they did? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think they're in the talks to pick up a third season of Doom Patrol because they left it on a pretty big cliffhanger. Who knows? We'll see. Anyway, I hate to say it, but we have actually reached time for the week, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline and leave a message about... your favorite Mario game. I don't have the number in front of me.
Oh, the number, you mean the number that is 586-372-8020. Give us a call and leave a message.
Yes, exactly that number. And I realized that it is right in front of me.
It is right in front of you, yeah.
I just didn't see it.
So, you can also find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Ecom bocom.
Ha 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 ha!